I have a call. This meeting to order at 4 p.m. It's a special meeting for Tuesday, December 15th. Madam Clerk, will you do a roll call, please?
I will, Mr. Mayor. Jim Sykes.
Here.
Matthew Beck.
Here.
George McKee.
Here.
Steve Culligan, are you on the line? He's expected to be calling in, Mr. Mayor. Dan Mayfield.
Here.
Barbara Doty.
Here.
Randall Kowalki.
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Item 3, approval of the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda? Seeing none, the agenda is approved as presented. Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Phillips, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Agenda item 5, audience participation. We have reached audience participation. Do we have any sign-ups?
Okay.
I believe there probably is. We don't have the sign-up sheet. But this is your opportunity to speak to somebody about anything you wish. You'll have 3 minutes to speak. Anybody want to come forward? Okay, Ms. Manolis, why don't you go ahead and enjoy having you here.
First of all, I wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And then, Mr. Moosey and Mayor Walter and the rest of the Assembly, I've been here with Santa's 3 things on my wish list. And I might go out sounding like Scrooge, which is usually what I'm referred to. But the first thing is, I belong to Convention and Visitors Bureau. I've had a B&B for 20 years, but I'm not in favor of changing the bed tax. So if you want to talk to me about it, I'll tell you why sometime. And the second thing, I've been working on a sewer plant in this borough for us to take care of, you know what, for 44 years. And I think it's about time that the needs are addressed instead of the wants. Because as a couple of you addressed me, why did I leave a borough meeting when they were here talking about a maybe 4th shooting range? I left before the meeting. Because if I didn't, I might have joined the Irish Republic Army and got a gun, because I don't shoot and I don't own one. And the third thing is, make sure personal finance is required in every school. Education is topmost on your agenda. I've seen it. It's been topmost on when I was on the board at the credit. I finally got it through in civics class in 9th grade, supposedly required in every school in the Matsu borough. So guess what teenagers listen to when they see this old lady? Have you taken personal finance? Because they're going to need it, because there's not going to be pensions and benefits for what's coming down the pike. Because we're a very young country. I won't be able to do the Irish jig at our 300th anniversary. So people better start and think. We've got a lot coming after us. We've done a lot of good. And I'm not stopping coming here until they carry me out. Because I've got enough fight left in me to work for the next generation. And that's, we're not leaving them a very nice legacy right now. So, with that, Scrooge is leaving. No, I'm staying for the rest. But anyway, have a happy holiday.
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas to you, Ms. Noes. You've been kind of an inspiration to the Assembly for many, many years I've been on, so thank you. Merry Christmas. Anybody else? I guess Mr. Haberman, are you next, please?
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I follow the public process. If the public process is done appropriately, the decision made by the governing body is more likely in the public interest. First, I'd like to call attention. The cities have an opportunity, Palm, we're still in Houston, where they have 2 times for audience comments, toward the beginning and toward the end, before they pass stuff. And you have on your agenda, as you seem to have, like audience comments, just once. And I would encourage you to change it. Also change the code law to allow twice. For example, what happened when you had a special meeting with a joint meeting with the school board? Audience comments came before, and then the public, including myself, witnessed a scenario where within an hour of the meeting, a resolution was put on the table, copy, dealing with millions of dollars in reference to safety of children and the lack of equal safety in reference to the schools, in reference to the charter schools. And where was the opportunity for the public to speak? Now, tonight, you're going to have audience comments now, but then you're going to own discussion, and we're going to hear a lot of comments, but then the public can't speak. So you need to change that to give the chance for the public to respond to what we're hearing from you all, and not put us in the, not just put us just in the beginning, but to the end, at least comment to what's been going on. And then I guess that's it. Wish I can do a credit on this thing on my time. Can't believe it. But I do have a concern in reference to Assemblymember Doty and her comment in reference to when I raised concern about when the borough manager in the past said these words, we are the experts in doing something with the people's money. And then I made a reference to the lack of no one respond to it, not to me as it meant to you, accepted it. And then Assemblymember Doty disagreed on that theory, so to speak. Well, I don't, and you have been silent on that statement, all of you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Merry Christmas, Mr. Haben. Actually, tonight, on tonight's assembly meeting, the public has five opportunities to speak on five different public hearings, and then they have a broader, general time to speak under audience participation. So thank you. There's no more comments. Bye. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
You're saying contrary to what I just said. Obviously, you're not listening. I hope the other members have heard it. No, that's just, that is not the case of what I just said here.
Publicly, I would like to clarify, and I will check myself. The comment that Mr. Haben referred to, I said in sarcasm, and I will refrain from being sarcastic in the future. I always felt that if I was disenfranchising myself, that was appropriate, but I'll refrain from my sarcasm, and I apologize for that.
Move on to the sixth item of business tonight in this special meeting. It's Community Development Department Overview. I will turn this over to the borough manager to speak to Community Development Department Overview, please.
Good evening, all. This is a time where we have been doing this by department to familiarize the assembly with projects that we have going on, and tonight is Community Development's turn. They have some needs that I think, frankly, they're running out of Band-Aids on the fixes, so this is probably a long time coming. The reason it hasn't been here earlier is because of me making sure we need to use all those Band-Aids, but I think we're going with that. So Mr. Phillips is here with a presentation and a special bucket of something.
Mr. Mayor, this is Steve Culligan. I've dialed in.
Mr. Culligan, are you on record? 410, thank you.
Good evening, Eric Phillips, Community Development Director. Mayor Halter, Assembly, I do appreciate the opportunity we have tonight to brief you on some of the opportunities and issues that we have in the Community Development Department. This first slide is really just an organizational chart outlining the various functions and programs of my department. However, my intent tonight is not to delve into all the projects, programs, and issues that we have in community development. I want to focus instead on one of our biggest areas of concern, and that's in the areas on the organizational chart there, highlighted in peach. I don't know poached salmon, whatever you call it, color that is. Anyway, that entail the ice arena, the pools, and our trails. And hopefully see if there is support at any point going ahead to keep these facilities operating. Another reason for focusing solely on the ice rink and pools is so we have plenty of time for questions or discussions at the end of this fairly brief presentation. Why do I want to talk about ice rink, pools, and trails? Why are they a significant area of need? A picture is worth a thousand words, and in many ways, this picture of this vehicle represents the condition of our pool and ice rink and even our trails facilities in the borough. We have the Wasilla Pool was constructed in 1980, the Palmer Pool in 1982, the ice rink in 1984, and the trails go back 30, 40, 50, or 100 years. But at the end of the day, what we have is a bunch of facilities that are 35-ish years old. They're like a car with 400,000 miles on them. They're still running, but how long is that transmission? And how long is that motor going to keep going with this many miles on them? The reality is they are running, but they could fail us at any time. And as managers of those facilities, we feel it's important to have this discussion. Even if the final answer is no, we just feel it's important for you all as elected leaders to know what the, you know, what the condition of these facilities we're responsible are. So here's, this is just a few pictures. These first ones are of the Brett Ice Arena. The second set here is of the pools. You'll see in several of these pictures, you'll actually see many plumbing fixes that have been accomplished over the years. And just in case anybody might think that we photoshopped some of this stuff or stole pictures off the internet, I'm going to ask Hugh here to take a valve that we just removed from the pool out to show you what kind of actual condition, kind of illustrative of... Do I'm going to put this on? This piece is illustrative of what we're talking about at the pools. This just came out today. And I got a funny story about this that I'll hold on to until the end of the presentation. Okay, as far as the Palmer and Wasilla pools go, these are highly utilized facilities. The last 3 years, we've averaged about 144,000 patrons. Of those folks going through, 32,000 of them were people learning how to swim. You could say that a sizable number of our youth in this borough learn how to swim at these pools. The other graph there on the lower right is basically an expense, revenue, and subsidization chart. The main, I guess, story that I'd like to show you for that is basically our pools are about 60% subsidized, meaning that for every dollar of operating cost we have at the pools, we're recouping about 40% of that through user fees, with the balance being, you know, subsidized from the general fund. I will say, however, that that is not out of line with many similar facilities in Alaska and throughout the United States. It's not a good number. It's not a bad number. It's kind of right in the middle. As far as the Palmer and Wasilla pools go, 3 years ago, we did a pretty comprehensive facility analysis for the pools. You have before you, and I believe there's copies in the back, an executive summary of what the studies, which are quite lengthy, are. You have an executive summary. If any of you want a copy of this for evening reading, we'd be happy to provide these to you, but you do have the executive summaries before you. Generally speaking, at both pools, the problems are very similar. We have pool liners, gutters, drains, underwater lights. They're all 30-plus years old. They're either leaking, corroded, or not energy efficient. The pool decks are narrow. The tile and grout is chipping away and peeling. The mechanical systems are 30 years old. The pipes leak and have been repaired to various degrees over the last couple decades. Necessary monitoring gauges are not installed. Some of the valves are rusted and inoperable. And this puts us in a tough position because, believe it or not, a degree or two of difference in water temperature makes a big difference to most of our patrons. Overhead lighting doesn't meet code. Humidity is high, which is a problem to itself. It creates a number of other issues throughout the facilities when you have such a high humidity environment. And lastly, the pool depth at the Wasilla Pool, it's not deep enough to allow diving over there. In the analysis, of course, it looked at what are the fixes. Well, we're going to cover the Palmer Pool fixes and then the Wasilla Pool fixes, but at the end of the day, you'll see that the fixes for both pools are really very, very similar. It says new six-lane competition pool, but what that really means is replace the existing six-lane competition pool. There would be, in this option, a leisure pool added with some play elements, and in a minute, I'll show you a picture of what we're talking about when we're talking about a leisure pool being added. Repair and replace services, corrective work to meet code, remodel, repair the locker rooms, repair, replace the obsolete mechanical systems, including air handling, boilers, pumps, piping, adding fire sprinklers, replacing ductwork, roof work, and basically all the guts of the pool need to be replaced. When you, and below there is a cost estimate for these various elements. The bottom line there, you want to click down to the bottom line, is there's about $6.5 million to bring the Palmer Pool up to where it needs to be. And if you look at the Wasilla Pool, it's many of the same improvements. Replace the six-lane competition pool. There is a leisure pool and seating element to be added. Repair, replace services, work to meet code requirements, replace existing obsolete mechanical systems again, as well as air handling, boilers, pumps, piping, fire sprinklers, all that, the same HVAC type of work, and repair and replace existing electrical systems, panels, lighting, fire alarms, wiring, fixtures. And again, you look at the bottom number for that one, it comes out to $5.3 million. Now, we have had a number of people, since we've been going through this, ask us, well, what about a new facility? The reality is, because the cost of a new facility is so high, right around $18 million, because we want to concentrate really on fixing what's broke as opposed to building a bunch of new stuff, and because of the issues we inevitably have with where we're going to site this new water park, we decided not to bring this option ahead to you at this time. However, it would be nice, but we don't think at this point it's practical. If you could go back a second. If you look at that little pool, it's a shallow pool there on the right side of the picture there. That is what you call a leisure pool. What it is really is a shallow pool for young children, elderly folks, anybody with any sort of physical impairment. That's the place for them to be. And that, in this option that we're presenting tonight, besides fixing what is literally broke, that would be the only new addition to the pool encapsulated in this option that we're presenting to you. The ice rink, the Brett, another, the ice rink's well used. As you can see, 57,000 folks on the ice annually. If you look at the revenue expense I provided you, its subsidization rate's not quite as high as the pool's. It's at 50%. In other words, through user fees, we're capturing about half of our operational costs at the ice rink. But again, if you look at similar facilities, we're right there. We're not great. We're not doing a bad job. We're right in the middle. Anyway, that's kind of the way the Brett's busy. The Brett's recouping half of its money. And when you look, as with the pools, we did a facility analysis. You know, And I guess I want to back up a second. We just didn't do these analyses because we thought it was a good thing to do. What happened was we found ourselves literally every other week something was breaking, something needed to be replaced, fixed. And so that's what drove both the pool analysis and the Brett analysis. It was we can't keep track of our, we can't budget for expenses related to fixing things because we never know what's going to go down. So it makes it really hard. Anyway, back to the Brett. We completed the rink. Again, you have an executive summary, and we have the full-blown study here if anybody wants some pleasant evening reading. Again, like I said before, the Brett was constructed in 84, and it has a range of issues. Two, the existing rink floor is not compatible with the refrigeration system. It's very inefficient. We're having to freeze far more ice than we should have to, which makes us use a lot more power. And anyway, it's the floor and the refrigeration systems are inefficient. The rink heaters are, you know, 1984 vintage. They're at the end of their useful life. The refrigeration systems are 22. This R22 is no longer made, so every year it costs more and more and more to keep the ice frozen. So what we need is a new, more environmentally friendly and economical refrigeration system for the Brett. And lastly, the mechanical rooms are not well ventilated, and it's been pointed out the hazard that these rooms represent for our staff that are in and out of there. What is the fix for the Brett? It's a pretty short, big number, but short list. Repairing the code violations, $257,000. Replace the operating systems and fixtures, basically all the guts is $1.1 million. And then the rink floor and refrigeration system, where it's been recommended that we switch from our 22 system to a CO2. It's a high-pressure CO2 system. It's, I believe it's similar to the one that was just installed in Eagle River. Anyway, the total cost to completely revamp the Brett's $3.7 million. Last and certainly not least is trails. If you look at the two charts there, one's revenue expenses. I would like to point out a couple things. If you look at that green bar, which is expenses, it looks like it's going way up on trails. It's kind of a mirage in that a few years ago, if you look, things were pretty low in 2013. They went way up in 2014. Trails used to be underneath parks as a sub-function, but we needed to have better operational control, so we pulled trails out. So that function to make that expense look greater than it is. In addition, we actually are hiring now two seasonal 1,000-hour trail crews each summer for a very short time to actually go out and start making a dent in the deferred maintenance we have out there in the trail system. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out. If you look at the users paying trailhead parking fees, between 2012 and 2015, we've basically doubled the number of folks paying their trailhead parking fees. Mainly it's due to the fact that we changed the way that we gave people permits. We went to these stickers that people put in their windows so they couldn't go out and photocopy them for them and their family and all their friends. So our sales of the stickers really picked up. And the other thing is we also stepped up public education, letting people know that, A, you know, you're using the trail system, the bathrooms, the garbage, you know. It's important that you pay your fees to use these recreational facilities. I will say that we do not have solid numbers on our trail users. We're endeavoring to do better, but it's not like the pools and ice rink where everybody comes in, you can click. The trails are scattered out everywhere. We have trail counters, but they get damaged. And so we don't have good numbers on trail users. But what we do have, and one of the reasons we've included trails in this bond, we have the fact that trails are by far and away the most popular recreational amenity the borough offers. The the surveys that have been done. This last one in 2014 indicated that two-thirds of borough residents use our trails. If you go back to those surveys, though, I mean, 2012, it's very consistent. Trails are the most important recreational offering that we offer. And the other part of that is we have tons of deferred maintenance on these trails. And hopefully through this bond, we can start taking care of some of this deferred maintenance. So we selected 9 trail projects with strong community support. We put an emphasis on critical maintenance, and we really tried to represent various trail user groups, not all motorized, not all. There's a mix, and they're also geographically dispersed throughout the borough. If you look at this next slide, it shows the trails that we're recommending and where they're located. If you want to click it one more time. We got the Talkeetna Ridge Trail, the Hessler Norris System in Willow, the Menard Sports Trail, Sports Complex Trails in Wasilla, the Herning Trail, 3 Mile Lake Trail for Big Lake in Houston, the Matanuska Riverfront Trail, Palmer Gateway, Plumlee Mod, Matanuska Riverfront North, Brazil Springs Trail, the Wasilla Headwaters Trail. Those are the 9 projects that we have selected for this bond. And on the next page, it basically, you might want to start madly clicking because I don't want to go through every one of these. These are the 9 projects, and these are the planning level estimates that we've put in for each of these trail segments for a total cost of $2.175 million for these 9 projects. And so to summarize, we've got the Palmer and Wasilla pools at $11.8 million. There's an asterisk by that, mainly because this pool study was done 3 years ago. The numbers were only good for 2 years, so we're going to have to go back and have those numbers updated. I was just talking to the architects, and I figure, you know, looking 2 years down the road, we need to look at about an 8% increase to that cost estimate. You already okay, and then you got the Breton ice rink at 3.7, trails at 2.1. So the total package, should we go that route, would be $17.8 million. What does $17.8 million look like in a bond? Well, there's your numbers. This is for a 20-year bond at 4%. It would be $34.59 a year for your average household with a $218,000 home, which is $2.88 a month bond indebtedness to fix both pools, the ice rink, and do those trail projects. I did say I would circle back around to this thing. The reality is our pools are so old, and this thing leaks. I've got to give this back to Tim after the presentation tonight to go put this back in the pool, because we're having a difficult time finding this particular part. So this lovely thing is going back in our pool until we can find the part to replace this. You don't even want to know. You don't even want to know.
Which pool is this one from, Mr.
Palmer?
That's Palmer?
Yeah.
Did we get a picture of that? Did we get a... You got a picture, okay, thank you.
Anyway, at the end of the day, there are no cheap answers to this, and all I want to ask is, can we even contemplate, have discussions to see if the people would support a bond to fix the pools, fix the ice rink, and the trails. That's really, I wanted to get the conversation started tonight. And I have brought a number of folks because I wanted to make my presentation short. So if you have questions, ideas, concerns, we have plenty of time to sift through them as opposed to sitting up here and listening to me go on and on and on. So with that, I will conclude my presentation, and thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Phillips. I guess we'll start down here with Mr. Assemblyman McKee.
First of all, let me say I do understand that there has to be a retrofit. But I was a little bit stunned by the figures here that on the Wasilla Pool, one-third of the estimated cost is unspecified contingencies, anything the contractor thinks might go in there. That I wouldn't build a house that way, and you wouldn't either, I don't think. You'd want to know what your money was being spent on. So I have a little problem with that. I think the rest of the data, probably like your mechanical systems and what have you, should be spelled out more. As a voter, I can tell you I would want to know what the money was going to be spent for. The question I have now is your figure of $3.44 per $218,000 house. That's based upon the population surveys that were done before the oil crash. What happens if the valley loses 10,000 homes? Does that remain the same, or does that go up for the homeowner?
I can't really answer a what-if question with regard to, you know, our population going up or our population going down.
Okay,
if the population went down. If we have 10,000 less taxpayers, then yes, it would obviously affect the mill rate for those that remained here. Yes.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Oh, one more thing. I as I understand it, the trail in Talkeetna also serves as an ATV highway for those people that live off the grid, okay, and can't drive to their house, and they get on an ATV and they chug up the borough trail to go home. Is that correct?
This is correct, yes.
Then why would we want to finance the folks in Wasilla a highway for the ATV people to get to their home in Talkeetna?
Well, if you notice the list of projects there, they're spread out geographically. There are trails there for the Wasilla folks as well. And this particular project, the Ridge Trail project, is the priority project coming directly from the community council in Talkeetna.
If I lived off the grid and I had an ATV, it would be my priority too, and I'd like somebody else to pay for it.
Thank you. Assemblymember Doty, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Nice presentation, Eric. I have a couple of areas I have questions on. I'm going to start with the pools. Just so you know, I'm the proud mother of a successful Wasilla diver from Colony High School. So I was perplexed at your comments about they're unable to have a diving program. I'll let you answer at the end. But just so you know, that doesn't mean that it's ideal for diving, but there has been in the past an excellent diving program that's been run through the Wasilla Pool. Second thing is I'd like to know how this bond proposal would include incorporating smart community concepts for access. So, for instance, would the pools be able to have classes that could be registered online rather than standing in line at 2 o'clock first come, first serve on a Tuesday in order to get your child into the program? Those of you that are parents that have had to stand in line at 2 o'clock to try to make sure that you and your friends can actually get into the pool program, it's not very convenient or user-friendly. So I'd like to see, in conjunction with this, some smart communities implementation on the operations so that would go hand-in-hand with it. The third thing is asking the question about, is there a way to have some return on investment in our investment of improvements? So, for instance, as my Associate Assemblyman Beck has brought up in the past, could we host any kind of pool competition by this upgrade so that the other high schools across the state could actually come to the Mat-Su to hold some of their competitions rather than having to always hold them in another community, which is an economic development opportunity? And just a personal comment, the emergency brownout that shuts the pools down once in a while because there is not a separation for a leisure toddler pool, I think is actually a good idea to separate those two because pools have been shut down for prolonged periods of time and unable to be used because of that particular issue. So I'll start with that. Maybe you could comment about the pools at this point and see what your thoughts are on what I'm bringing up.
I'm going to leave the diving one for Hugh. The second one, as far as the smart communities, I, too, have stood in those same lines registering for various things, and we would embrace, just I would embrace that concept throughout community development, whether you're talking wood cutting permits, swim lessons, whatever the case, we will embrace that. What was the economic development? I'm gonna leave. I don't know about the competition part. I'm really not the pool guy, but if
I could, just one other issue was related to environmental quality. You talked about the air quality. I do know that other communities on Alaska, for instance, has a saline pool rather than a bromine or chlorine pool. Maybe you could comment on that too.
The saltwater pool are very nice. However, if you have a saltwater system, it doesn't negate the need to have your chlorination system. So we could do a saltwater type pool, but we would have to also have the chlorine system in place. So what we would be paying for two separate systems simultaneously. If we want to do that, we sure can. It has also been shown, and kick me if I'm wrong, but the saltwater systems are actually very, caustic? They're very caustic. And so it would probably work. We had a conversation, I don't know, 2.5 years ago maybe, about converting our existing pools to salt. It just won't work because it's so caustic. This old stuff would quickly melt away. If we went with a new pool or with new mechanical systems, it would probably work. But again, we would have to pay for the chlorine system and the saltwater system, which would make our bottom line costs go up. You want him to talk about the other two?
Through the mayor, that would be great.
Through the mayor to Assemblyperson Doty, this is the first assembly meeting I've ever been to wearing rubber gloves. To answer your question about the diving, there certainly is diving going on there, but the dive well is out of code. It is currently in an unsafe position for divers, and they run the risk of head and neck injuries because of the upslope on the diving well. That's kind of what that slide was pertaining to. Secondly, could we invite or encourage more swimming activities at the pools? Absolutely, we certainly can. Would require some cooperation with the school district and also the private swim clubs to see if we could draw additional folks in for that.
Just in reply, also there's a big push right now for physical therapy and other manual therapies to use aquatic facilities. There's a lot of small aquatic facilities popping up around the valley. Is that an opportunity for economic collaboration and perhaps an offset?
We're very fortunate in that in the room behind me are the architects that worked on both studies, as well as the pool manager and the ice rink manager. We do have some physical therapy groups that do utilize the pools for not only physical rehab, but also folks with developmental disabilities to keep them active.
Thank you. Senator Caulkey, do you have a question?
Yes, I appreciate the presentation, and it really helped me as a new assemblyman kind of get up to speed with some of the physical plants that we have in the area. But I don't know whether it's the cynic in me or not, but it looked like a window dressing package, this proposal adding the trails in throughout the areas. A lot of my folks up north are going to take a look at this and realize that about 4% of this is going to impact them with the trails, and they're going to be helping contribute for the other 96%, which is going to go to the swimming pools and the ice rink. I believe that all the kids in Alaska should learn how to swim. I've got 8 grandchildren here in the area, but I'm really wondering what the fairness on this bond package looks like with the north end of our borough. I mean, this is a group of Palmer-centric projects that will be benefit. People can drive in and use them, but I don't know from my district who's coming down to the ice rink, and maybe that's a large number, who's using these pools. And I think that the probability of this surviving, at least in the north end, is fairly slim based on the economic model that I see.
I think it's Assemblymember Sykes and then Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through the mayor to Mr. Phillips, I have a couple questions. One is there any trail service area currently funding the trail in Talkeetna? And I used to live up in Chase, and we established the Chase Trail Service Area, and I believe we also got money from the railroad to help build us because they wanted us off the tracks. But that I don't live there anymore, but I still pay trail service charge in my taxes on that property, and I just wonder if that's something that the community council has considered, or if there's already something in place for that particular trail, because it might alleviate the load on that. And my second question is regarding the ice rink. Is there any kind of cooperation with the city of Palmer? I don't know if it's stacked up for time out here. I know Brad Hansen runs a really great outfit here, but if there is some ice time that can be shared or something while we're doing maintenance, has that been looked into on any level?
First of all, I'm going to ask Georgia Emerson, have any information regarding the trail service area? Mr. Cyclist? I don't know if you heard them, Mr. Sykes, but the Ridge Trail isn't under any sort of trail service area. And it is the number one project that the community council has been pushing for. And the second question was, I've already lost it.
Any level of cooperation with the Palmer Ice Rink that might alleviate some of the needs on the Brett?
You mean when... if and when we were to refurbish it, or in currently, or what? I'm sorry, I'm not.
Whether it's closed or repaired, is there the opportunity for Palmer to share some ice time? Is it available, and can that facility get more use than it's now getting?
Through the mayor to Assemblyperson Sykes. Yes, actually. Any time that we've been impacted with a closure or any of the other two competing ice rinks in the community have gone through a closure, the other two rinks swell in the amount of hours that they rent ice. The next kind of question is, could this community get by with two ice rinks? And the answer is arguably no. We have extremely strong, not only hockey program, but figure skating program and leisure skating program in the community, from toddlers to 80 plus years old. If we did do these repairs, the both of the other facilities would absolutely explode in the number of hours that they rent, and unfortunately some ice skating needs would not be met.
Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through the mayor to the director, I really like the idea of a recreational bond package. Having the voters weigh in on that, certainly is important. But I do think, after looking at the list here, I think we may need to sweeten the pot a little bit as far as bringing in some of the other areas that are a little more disenfranchised by this list. Particularly Big Lake, Wolfpack Grooming Area, the Willow Area, and maybe we should take a look at some more trail projects in those areas. Lake Louise, yes. Yeah, just, you know, I know that those folks, you know, certainly it would be more attractive to them if they got some benefit from the recreational trail, or from the recreational package, bond package. You know, just another thing, as I was reviewing the finances here, you know, it does seem like our user fees fall far short of maybe where they should be. So with improvements in facilities, I would probably expect to see more appropriate user fees.
We have tried to raise user fees, and I remember quite a lively conversation up here a couple years ago over a quarter. So, yeah, we're more than willing to consider that. And furthermore, if there's any sort of consensus of support from the Assembly on this bond package, obviously, in terms of expanding the trail portion, yeah, we wouldn't be against that.
Just a follow-up. What's your target date as far as moving forward with something like this?
Well, in our perfect world, there would be a bond on the ballot fall of 16, which I would need clerk's direction. We'd pretty much have to have, June, July time period, have all the facts and figures.
Introduction in June, public hearing in August.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we'd have 6 months.
Good. Yes, certainly I'd be willing to assist where possible.
Thank you.
Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Regarding both trails and ICE, I believe some of the biggest users of ICE time actually do exist on the north end. Talkeetna, if you look at the Houston program for hockey, if you look at Talkeetna, so I'm asking the question, did you ever explore shutting down the Brett facility and relocating ICE that's further north? Because you've got a group of people that are spending a lot of money driving back and forth every day to get their kids to the ICE. That's one question. Second question was, is there any kind of a adopt-a-trail program in which you've got users that can actually participate and label the area of the trail that they're maintaining and participating with as a collaboration in the community?
I will address the second question first. There's not an official adopt-a-trail, but what we do have is, couple dozen different trail volunteer groups out there that are actively maintaining and improving our trails from Crevasse Moraine to all over the borough. Up at the chalet, we have volunteers everywhere doing all types of work, but mostly it is the lighter maintenance work, not going in and, you know, literally rebuilding the trail treads, like is what we'd be doing, you know, through this bond.
Just in response, I would suggest that that's not very visible to the average consumer unless you're out there usually using it all the time, and I don't think you can find it on the borough website.
Point taken. Are you going to close down the Brett and move it north?
Through the mayor to Assemblyperson Doty. I've been reluctant to ever utter the phrase close the facility and move it for very selfish reasons and also reasons that oftentimes the where will the new facility go becomes a very political issue. And currently we do support folks coming down from Talkeetna, Willow, people from Palmer skate in Wasilla, people from Wasilla skate in Palmer. So the rink knows no bounds. If the Assembly wanted to have that discussion about potentially relocating a facility, we would certainly entertain that. The question is there enough of a population to justify the expense of a brand new rink? And just anecdotally, a brand new rink bricks and mortar refrigeration system from the ground up is going to run, and Joe will jump in and say yes or no, about $7 to $9 million.
Just in response, minus the sale price of the existing building, and in addition, the fact that your bond got passed because the North End voted for it.
I guess I've got
through the mayor. Would it be possible for me to let Joe, the guy that's there 5-6 days a week every day, talk up a little bit about the northern use? Because
certainly,
I'd like to know too.
Good evening. I'm Joe Miner. One thing I will tell you is that we hear from our customers all the time. One of the strengths of the Brent Memorial Ice Arena is its location. Centrally located in the core area like that, it's accessible to all the residents of the valley. I do understand it's further away from the north, but we have a lot of users that come from Talkeetna on a regular basis. We have users from Willow, Big Lake, and one thing that I'll mention is we're normally the ice arena that tries to stay open as much of the 12 months of the year as we can. And I think that if you propose closing that facility, there would be a huge uproar. It's the longest standing ice facility in the valley and has a great tradition. We have the most experienced, educated, and trained staff. We offer the widest variety of programs to appeal to all the different aspects of the community. And we have a lot of use from the outlying areas. Now, I'll also say, if you could keep that open and build one in the north, they would love that. But they would want it modeled after our operation.
Just to correct, I wasn't saying close. I was saying relocate.
Okay.
That's a fancy word. Assemblymember Beck, did you have a...
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I guess there's some things that make the Mat-Su borough a great place to live, and I think these are three things that might be at the top of people's list. You know, the trail opportunities for four-wheeling and for hiking and for skiing, for horseback riding, for bike riding, and the ice. Hockey players, there's not enough ice already, so I don't even think there's an option to close any ice in the pools. There's no option to close any pools either. I think they're filled all the time and being used. Large number of users. So I guess I'm just saying I'm really glad we're heading in this direction. I think you have your work cut out for you, because you are going to have to be very specific. Like Assemblymember McKee has mentioned, you know, what are the exact expenses? You know, don't lump $1 million in there and say we're going to spend $1 million on part of this. Make sure that those are spelled out for people so they know what they're paying for. And I also would encourage you, as you have the conversation, to move ahead with this. Don't eliminate who might be a part of the conversation to maybe sweeten the deal. School district might have a vested interest in this. Not might. They have a vested interest in this because they have programs at all the schools that use these facilities, that use the trails. So include them in the conversation with this. The college, whoever might have a vested interest in this, look in the community, and that way we could gain the ownerships, the swim clubs. I'm sure you're doing all that, but just keep going. Good job.
If through the mayor, if I may, I agree with the comment made by Mr. McKee and alluded to by Mr. Beck. It looks like there's a lot of unknowns in the cost estimate, because there is a lot of unknowns. These are 35-year-old buildings, and once you start tearing things apart, if you've ever remodeled your home, it's never as simple as when you first tear into it. And I think they were just being conservative and accounting for a lot of the unknowns that go into basically a total rebuild of the entire pool. So, yeah, there is an unknowns, and there's going to be unknowns up until the day the contractor starts tearing the pool apart. So, but your point's well taken as far as providing more detail, and we have that detail.
Assemblymember Kwaki and Assemblymember McKee.
Yes, I'm involved with the Willow Trail Committee, and we do a lot of our work through volunteers. We have grooming grants through the borough and the state, and we've been, because we've had a 17-year leader in achieving other grants, all of you who are involved with trails know who Steve Charles is, and he's done a great job for us. So I'm trying to jump out and see with what we've already been doing how this is going to be an inducement to pass the bond. The other item is that notwithstanding the use from the northern end at the ice arena, the local folks had gotten frustrated enough with driving to town that through Waco, they have, and the school district have formed a nonprofit that is opened the rink at the elementary school in Willow. The Willow area community organization has put up most of the money for a homemade Zamboni, and they're cleaning up the ice and doing the things up there. So I'm not trying to debate this with you. I'm just saying when this ballot measure, if it comes forward, is an inducement for Willow, Talkeetna, and these other places, when they look at their signing on for $16, $17 million worth of debt, and 4% of it are going to our trails. Randy Crosby up at Trapper Creek, these folks are doing a great job with what we have. I don't think it's going to get there, and you may not need the northern area to pass this, but I'm just stating an observation as I have lived there and viewed it. Thank you. I
appreciate that. Thank you. Assemblymember McKee.
Yes, I'll state again. I don't think any reasonable person could dispute the fact that there has to be work done on the pools, for instance, and I'll just stop there with the pools. But I would like to see, in fact, what it would take, not a total retrofit, but what it would take to make those, bring those pools up to code right now. For instance, let me, one of the things I would wonder about the cost, to increase the Wassail pool so it could take diving. I don't think that's essential to that pool, not for community development. I use the pools, and I don't see that many people who do diving, but I sure see a lot of 5- and 6- and 7-year-old kids floundering around the pool. So I think that it would enhance the package if you went through and you said, what do we really need to do? Not what's the best pool in Alaska. Thank you, sir.
Assemblymember Beck.
Yeah, I guess for Assemblymember McKee, I would clarify that the committee really has done what he's just said, and they actually have three different proposals, or actually four proposals, and what the committee is bringing to us today is number two. There's one, two, three, and four, and one actually has done what you're saying, and basically it's they propose it's an inadequate solution that probably wouldn't be appealing to folks from the conversations that they've had. And for the amount of cost, it's a minimal cost more to get something that's upgraded to what the needs that are identified. And that number three is like ideal tear down, rebuild everything. I just attended the meeting a couple years ago when this came out and they talked about this. And then the fourth one is a standalone aquatic center. So they're not bringing us gold or silver, you know, they're bringing us, and they're not bringing us the bottom one, they're bringing us that number two that is kind of a compromise, and that they're bringing that upon the recommendation of the volunteers that make up the committee that did the work for these pools a few years ago, and that's why they're bringing it to us.
Well, thank you. I guess I was really appreciative Mr. Kwalke brought up that ice rink in Willow, because I know they've been struggling, just trying to raise $7,000-$9,000 to try to get that thing going and operating, and the fire department's flooding the thing, and they get a lot of locals, so that can be factored in. It is on borough or on school property, and it would be a big asset there. I don't know much about the Ridge Trail up in Talkeetna, but I do know it was one of their priorities. And you know, sometimes these three facilities, to me, when I look at them, they're kind of our core facilities. I agree they're down here, you know, they're the old swimming pools. You know, when you look at that valve there, you know, 30, 40 years old, it's just, it's amazing that we're gonna have to probably do something. Now, the best way to do it is, I don't know how to do it. But bonding certainly is one way, probably the only way right now we're ever going to fix something like that. That might have another 100,000 miles on it, I'm not sure. But but you know, our ambulances back at budget time, remember our ambulances, we had two weren't working, and all the other chassis were at, was it 450 to 500,000 miles, and so we're seeing a lot of our stuff wearing out. So, you know, we either have to look at it very carefully. So I agree to look into it in more detail. I agreed with Mr. McKee. I saw that big number myself, where you didn't really know what it was for, but I'd really work on, you know, getting some identification to that and what it means. And Mr. Moosey, I think, wants to comment, too.
Yes. Certainly, this is the first iteration that you've heard. Tonight, under clerks, I think I'm requesting 6 or 7 special meetings at the 4 o'clock time. And one of them is really to deal with this bonding issue and a couple other bonding issues well in advance to get your take on it and should we move forward or not. What's great about this is we're putting something together that citizens actually say, yes, I'm willing to pay more for this, or don't bug us. Might want to add, when I first got here, we really kind of struggled with the Community Development Department and the director. And since Eric has been here, we've really had some stability. I think he does a fabulous job setting the focus and direction. He's been working very well, I think, with all other staff members in the assembly. So he's kind of the quiet guy. This is his first chance he's got to beat his chest, and he really didn't do it very good tonight. He didn't say that we're going to die if you don't approve all this stuff. So he needs to work, you know, deal with the other directors because they're much more better at doing that than he is. So that's all I have, but you know, I just want to tip my hat to the department and Eric.
Any other questions or comments? I guess thank you very much, Mr. Phillips. Very thorough, and we enjoyed it.
I thank you. I really do. I've been trying to get this thing off the ground for quite a while.
We're at our last item. We're looking for comments now. We'll have staff comments. Mr. Stropolis. Madam Clerk? Mr. Moosey?
You just made mine. Thank you.
Any staff or any assembly comments? Anybody? I'll start with Mr. Sykes or Assemblymember Sykes. He's going to come this way. How about you, Assemblymember McKee? Comments? Sykes? Mr. Sykes?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I enjoyed the presentation, and I'm very glad that we had it. Certainly, when we talk about the health and welfare of our borough, these, you know, I think every kid should be able to learn to swim. We know that recreational activity is worthwhile and part of a healthy community, and I think that you've given us a lot to chew on because these are big ticket items. I would like to ask the manager. It was my understanding that we were going to get a financial risk estimate this week at our special meeting that kind of expanded and got some charts and some details fleshed out to what was presented at our December 1st special meeting. And I would still like to see that. And I'd like to see it at the next meeting, which is January 12th. Including all of our risks, including, you know, if we have to keep paying for the port, you know, our bonds. We got kind of a summary last time, but I think Assemblymember Doty asked for something that we can have in our hand, something that has a timeline to it, and I would like to see that because this is the crux of the biscuit. We're going to have to go through these things and decide what our needs are and what our wants are and what we're going to fund. And we also need to understand what our underlying financial risks are when we make these decisions. And I really appreciate having that information. And you've got actually an extra week. You can start the new year and have almost 2 weeks before our next assembly meeting. But I do really want to have that.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. You know, I'd just like to say thank you to the director and the staff of Community Development for the presentation. I thought it was very well done. You know, certainly brought to light the need that we have to address our pools and the ice rink, and I think we can sweeten the pot with the trails trail system with a little more work on the trail system. The only other thing I really have to say is Merry Christmas to everybody. For those who are leaving the meeting now, I hope you have a great Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you.
Assemblymember Culligan, are you still with us? Do you have any comments? Assemblymember Doty?
Thank you. Yes, thank you for a very good presentation, and you know, I apologize for my critical questions, but I'm really looking for integration between what we do at the borough, and I'd just like to point out that the new CVB Matsu marketing tool is out. And I was just briefing through it, wondering if when my family members come up that we could find a trail or information about the trails. It's not in here. So I think there's an opportunity for us to collaborate and partner. I mean, even if it was for more information, go to your borough website. Here's the address. That would get people out using some of those resources right now. If we're marketing the borough and we're marketing it as a great place to recreate and play, let's shout out what our successes are. So I appreciate those efforts. Thank you.
Assemblymember Beck.
No comment. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is this Assemblymember Culligan?
I'm sorry, I'm still on the road coming across the flats, but I wanted to take the opportunity to thank Eric and his partner and the manager for bringing the information forward. We're kind of in a tough position. We need to do some maintenance on our existing facilities and set some real priorities, but I appreciate him bringing the information. Thank you.
I have no comments, so we'll adjourn this meeting at, was it 7 minutes after 5?